Thanks, Darren. As Darren said, I'm Lene Wabel, and I have been attending Out of the Launch for almost 2 years now. And typically, am I good? Okay. Typically, you would find me teaching special education at Westview Elementary School, and so that is my typical job. So you guys just have to put up with my musings this morning about the scriptures that I read in preparation for this. As Scott said last week, if you were here, in December they're preaching just through the lectionary. And so as I started to look through the lectionary, the story that most attracted me was one of the gospel stories and a story about Jesus. So this morning we're going to be looking and diving into a little bit of the passage in Luke 13. But before we get started, I want to pray for us and calm myself down a little bit here. So let me pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to come this morning and to share. God, I know that each of us have walked into this room this morning with lots on our hearts and on our minds, with to-do lists that we're thinking through, the things that we have to do in the weeks that are coming up. But I pray that for the next few minutes, we could set those things aside, that we could just hear from you. God, open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us. And God, my prayer is that you would just come and speak through me. May I be an instrument to deliver your word this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. As I said, I love the stories of Jesus. And I love having chances to study them and look at them. But one thing I know about myself, having been someone who grew up in the church and heard many of the stories before, I oftentimes read the stories and I think, oh, I've heard that. Or I have a preconceived notion of what I think the story's supposed to be about. And so when I come to the text, I oftentimes miss what God has for me today because I read it as though I was that 12 or 13-year-old hearing it for the first time and I focus on that. But my prayer this morning is that we can look at some of these passages with new eyes and that you will hear God speaking to you this morning in what we're going to read. So let me just dive right into the text. And we're going to start in Luke 13, verse 10. Okay. It said, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by the Spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? And then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan had kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with the wonderful things he was doing. At first glance in this passage, I look at Luke 13, and it seems pretty straightforward. When we read through the Gospels and we look at the stories of Jesus and his ministry, we oftentimes see him in direct conflict with the Pharisees and the synagogue rulers and those that were the religious ruling order of the day. Scott even talked about this some last week when looking further in the New Testament, Galatians and Paul's teaching, in which the whole point there was that we don't put back up the barriers that Jesus tore down. And what we're going to look at this morning is one of those places where Jesus was beginning to tear down the barriers that kept people from seeing the true heart of God. Now, as any good reading teacher would do, after you read something through the first time, you stop and you look more deeply into the characters. And so as I was preparing for this, I realized I needed to look deeper into these characters to really see what God might have for us this morning. And so I'm going to take some time and look at each different character. And I'm going to start with the synagogue ruler and the Pharisees. At this time, you know, I read about Pharisees with my Sunday school perspective. They were always wrong. You know, they were always the ones fighting Jesus, and of course, Jesus is always right. So that was just how I always read things. But when you think about the Pharisees, their concern and their devotion was to maintaining the law, maintaining what they knew to be true about God's law and how they believed it was intended to be lived out, how they believed services and worship was to look. And so as Jesus began to deviate from those things, they felt a strong sense of commitment to maintaining what they thought to be right, what they understood to this point in time in their teaching was the way to worship God. And so as I read through this and I keep thinking, why don't they get it, right? How could they ever look at Jesus healing somebody as being work? How could showing compassion ever be something that should be looked down on? Why would Pharisees or anyone ever want to limit God? And I'm sure we could get into a lot of different debates and discussions in theology and looking at just those questions alone. But as I was preparing for this message, the thing that I realized is that I can be a Pharisee. In my life, I'm oftentimes a Pharisee because if someone comes and starts questioning me and what I think church should look like, or maybe telling me how I should pray, or how I should study scripture, or where I should pray, or where I should study scripture, or people just interpret something different than I do, if I'm honest with myself, I can get a little stubborn, I can dig my heels in, I can refuse to listen, and I'll confess there are times where I've just walked away from the discussions because I didn't want to hear it. But as I reflected on this passage, what I realized is when I do that, the only thing that's happening is I'm limiting God. I'm missing out what Jesus has for me, just like those Pharisees were missing out on experiencing the joy of seeing a woman healed because they were so caught up worrying about it being different than they expected that they missed the daily simple miracles that Jesus was performing. And so I was really challenged by the fact of what do I miss on a daily basis? I'm so caught up in what I believe to be true, and am I being open to God changing my understanding of who he is, or am I keeping him a very small God? The next person we see in this passage is this woman, and it's this woman who's healed. And in reality, when you study this passage, or oftentimes we focus on the latter part, because that's where the meat and the controversy is, and that's what's exciting, and we don't stop to think about this woman. And there's really not much mention of her here if we look just at the text. It simply says that Jesus was teaching. He saw a woman who'd been crippled for 18 years. She couldn't stand up, but Jesus had compassion on her. He called her forward. He touched her. She was healed, and she went away praising God. That's all we know for sure as we look at this. But I stop when I think about this woman, and we know from some of the things Scott talked about last week that women in this culture, in this time, they weren't treated as equals. In many ways, they were marginalized. There were different rules and laws and things they had to follow. And oftentimes may or may not have always been welcome, even in the synagogues and temples, depending on where they were at. We don't know if she had been there every day trying to be healed, if she had come the other 6 days or not. But we know that for some reason on this day, she was curious enough about Jesus and his teachings that she just got close enough that he saw her. She was curious enough that he saw her, and then when he called her name, she was brave enough to step forward. And I say she was brave enough because I think of myself as a woman in a situation where I may or may not be accepted, and I'm crippled, and there's other issues. I'm sure it took bravery for her on some level to step up and respond to Jesus, and she did. As I think about this woman, I begin to realize and I wonder about myself, how am I like that woman? Are there places in my life where I need to receive some of Jesus' healing? Are there places in my life where he has, but I haven't turned back to just praise him and give him all the glory that there is? Then I also reflected longer on and I thought, who are the people, who are those women who are marginalized in our society? Who are the people that need to come into the church and see Jesus, but they don't feel welcome and they won't walk through the front doors? And how can we go and make sure those people have access seeing who Jesus is? And so I sat and I thought, who is that woman? Who is she in our society here in Champaign? Or more so, how am I like that woman and I need to receive some of Jesus' healing touch? The final interaction we see here is with Jesus. And Jesus does some pretty remarkable things in this passage if you really look at it. He's not doing anything too unexpected by teaching in a synagogue, right? It's where we would expect to find Jesus. But we see Jesus showing an immense amount of compassion. We see Jesus who sees a woman who's been crippled for 18 years. And I'm sure he knew that his healing would somehow cause a controversy. He was very well aware of the controversies that he stirred up, but he did it anyway. And he went further by just healing her, but he reinstated her to a status as a sister among everyone else there by calling her a daughter of Abraham. She wasn't just some woman, she was a daughter of Abraham. She was a sister to everyone else in that place. And shouldn't that sister be healed? Isn't she more valuable than the animals and livestock? We also see Jesus with just a mere response of saying yes to hearing her voice call, touching her and healing her. There was nothing else she did. She did nothing to draw attention to herself. It was purely Jesus' compassion and the love of the Father that Jesus was responding to and living out. And we also see Jesus being a very good teacher in that when we get distracted from the things that we're supposed to focus on, when we get distracted from the fact that God is a loving God who wants us to know his heart, and we focus more on rules and regulations and systems and structures, he kind of rebukes them and points them back to the right way. Initially, when I read it and I read the words, I'm calling them, you hypocrites. I mean, that's pretty harsh. Like, it's a hard thing to say. But that's what a good teacher would do. They would redirect you and point you back to the part of God so that we don't keep ignoring the things that God wants us to be about. And while the miracle is really amazing and Jesus' boldness to confront things that are wrong challenged me, as I reflected on this, the most challenging part of this for me when I reflected on it was the fact that Jesus calls us to be his hands and feet in the world today. So if Jesus is this person who's performing miracles and confronting injustices, that's what, if we're followers of Jesus, we are to be doing. And I started thinking about myself and like, am I doing that? Am I in some way being the hands and feet of Jesus to those around me? What do I need to do in my life to make that true and to make my life reflect that? Now, I warned you at the beginning of my sermon that sometimes I like to do things a little bit different, and Jaron warned you about my small group, and if you're in my small group, you know that I oftentimes will say, we're going to do something a little different this morning or this afternoon, and so I'm going to do that today, and so if Scott never lets me preach again, I guess that's okay, because he didn't say anything this week. Anyway, we're going to do a little bit what I call the Lectio Divina. If you've never done one before, it's really just a fancy word for a way to do a sacred reading and a reflection on a passage. And the thing that strikes me most is I can come and sit on Sunday morning and I can walk out and forget really quickly what God has for me. But as I read this passage, I thought there's nothing stellar or amazing in terms of new knowledge, but there's a whole lot here that God wants to say to our hearts. And so we're going to have a chance this morning to do a little bit of a Lectio Divina, which simply means that we're going to do a reflective reading. In a few minutes, you're going to hear the same passage, the scripture we just read, and they're going to read it three different times. And there'll be three different voices reading this passage. Before each reading, I'll give just a short instruction of some things to focus on and think about during the reading. In this time, I'll be silent. I promise I'll only do a minute of silence. For some of you, that's going to feel like an eternity, but I promise it won't go longer than a minute of silence. And I want you to just think. Sometimes we come to scripture and we try to figure it out, and we want to know exactly what God has for us. Don't try to figure it out. Just let the words of the passage, the images I've talked about this morning, sit in your heart and your soul and see what God brings up. We'll read through it three different times. You may have the same thought the whole time. That's great. You may have three different thoughts. Who knows? But just open yourself up to what God may be saying to you this morning. We're going to go ahead and do the first reading. And in this first reading, what I want you to do is I want you to think about that synagogue ruler. How would that synagogue ruler be feeling watching Jesus break all these laws and rules that have been set up? What values is that synagogue ruler operating out of? What do you think God is wanting to say to that synagogue ruler by this interaction with Jesus? And what might God be saying to you this morning?
On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
As we begin to listen to this passage again for a second time, I want you to shift your thoughts, if the Lord lets you, to thinking about the woman. How would this woman be feeling? Marginalized, crippled for 18 years, Jesus is calling her over. What kind of fears might she be having? If it was your name being called, would you be willing to step forward and draw close to Jesus? Who are those people around us who may be needing to draw near to Jesus, but need the opportunity to do so? Hear the third reading.
On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
As we listen to this passage a third time, I want you to think about the person of Jesus. I want you to think about how we are called to be his hands and feet to those around us. What are the ways that he is challenging us this morning to see the true heart of God, our Heavenly Father? Hear now the third reading.
On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
Father God, I just thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the ways in which you long for nothing more than to touch our hearts, that you long for nothing more than to draw us closer to you. We just pray that we would take these things that you spoke into our hearts, and that throughout this week that we would remember and reflect on them. We pray this in your name. Amen.